Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey! So I was going to say, before we start, Pete, just get this on record. I think when you think of me, you think of me in quite a tedious way. A lot of tedious ideas about things, right. A lot of like protocols, a lot of like quite rigid things in his life that you don't relate to. Like, for example, collecting mugs.
Yeah. No, you're more kind of like a, oh, what if someone sees me doing that?
Why and I'm like, why did you do a shoulder shimmy there?
And I'm like, I want people to see me doing this. Shall we start?
No. Yeah,
it's the Luke and Pete Show. It is a Monday. No, it's not. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. That was like a in a song when they stop and then start again. Very exciting.
Oh, what's that song that goes? And we just stop, Missy Gray. She goes, stop.
Yeah.
And then start.
You love Macy Gray.
I love a bit of Macy Gray.
Macy Gray is absolutely fine. There's nothing wrong with her.
Absolutely fine.
Nothing wrong with her at all. Great. Okay. Good artist. Good at what she does. She's fine. I've never met anyone passionate about Macy Gray's music until I met you.
No.
Not a single other human
being.
One
album, though. The first album. I was probably equally as ebullient. Is that the word I should use? About.
If that's what you mean. Specifically, yes. That's how language works.
I was probably that excited about the Legend of a Cowgirl, Amani Coppola's first album.
I don't
as
know
well.
That one.
No,
it's
very forgettable. Brand Van 3000's Glee.
I remember the single. It's a very strong
everyone
single.
Everyone did. Yeah. They did a terrible cover of Come On, Feel the Noise on the same album.
Oh,
it was
they?
Terrible.
Aren't the lyrics, what the hell am I doing drinking in LA at 26? And I remember hearing that and going, imagine what I'll be doing when I'm 26.
I'll be on the moon, mate.
Spoiler alert, fuck all. basically, the listeners, you are very welcome along. You've joined us in the middle of our belated, but nevertheless surprise, fourth birthday party for Luke and Pete Show. It's been 4 years, can you believe? We mentioned it a week or two ago. Producer Nat, who doesn't like being mentioned on the show because she thinks it's a bit cringe.
Right.
Because she's young and cool.
Yes. it's like two dads. The dads.
We're very proud of her.
Shouting in the street. Dad, stop embarrassing me, dads.
Very good A-levels. she has made it impossible for us not to mention her by bringing all this birthday party stuff. We've got our own personalised mugs. Pete's got a 4-pack of Tisky.
I've done all right, really. You've got a big bag of fancy crisps at that, like 12 quid crisps. They're crazy expensive.
And a pint of milk.
I guess tea will be administered at some point. I don't really know how it's going to work. But I've got a packet. Natalie's made an insane cake. Let's talk about that cake.
We'll share that on social.
Okay.
It's got batteries on it.
Pictures of batteries rather than actual batteries, because that would be a terrible idea.
Don't put them
anywhere near your mouth. So Natalie is bloody lovely.
Yeah.
I'm scared the amount of money she spent on this, to be quite frank, because I'm very practical. Cancer Tiskies are very affordable.
We've also got a big bag of MSG to share.
Well, look. Ajinomoto, so moto belonging to Aji, apparently. Umami seasoning, purity greater than 99% monosodium glutamate, made in France. So there we go. Beautiful.
Bit of MSG is a birthday present. You can't beat it. Cut out the middle man. Don't bother getting a Chinese for your birthday. Just pour the MSG down your throat.
Yeah, if you put for 300 grams of fried rice, 3 to 4 teaspoons.
That's all you need.
That's all you need, mate.
It'll last you for ages.
Delicious.
So thank you very much to Nat. She is a big, big part of this team, the most important part of the team, and she's done an amazing job for us. We really appreciate it. But thank you all to everyone listening for allowing us to get this far, 4 years in, and we enjoy taking the piss out of each other pretty regularly. Right, now that's out the way,
right.
I want to talk about Richard Madeley.
Okay.
I feel like he's on manoeuvres. He's making more moves than he ever has before.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think we've talked about him enough. So I think we should definitely talk today, Monday, about Madeley. Madeley on Monday. Monday Madeley. Bit of Monday Madeley. Mm-hmm. What do you think about his most recent kind of resurgence? And do you think, and crucially, Pete, he's getting booked on Good Morning Britain. We know mm-hmm. what happened with Piers Morgan. We know mm-hmm. they're getting through different presenters. They're trying people out. The people who are booking presenters on Good Morning Britain, they know what they're doing, don't they?
They do, yeah. And Morgan is very much shout at government minister, talk about how everyone's a snowflake, stick it on Twitter and it'll get a retweet by a load of people. Aren't you, you clever Piers? So I understand. And this one is very much like a stunt booking. It's a Doink the Clown rather than The Rock. They want The Rock. They can't afford The Rock. Yeah. So they're going for Doink the Clown instead.
Who's The Rock in this situation?
Who is the... Gary Lineker.
Why do they want Lineker?
They don't want Lineker.
But Madeley is remarkable because I think people missed the point though slightly because I think he just doesn't give a shit. I don't think he's completely unself-aware. He's got like young, coolish kids, right? His daughter, Chloe Madeley, she's like a broadcaster and stuff. Mm. So he'll understand what people are saying about him, but he just doesn't care.
He's always... there are men who did a bit of work in the 80s and the 90s, and because we have this kind of toxic kind of nostalgia in this country and everywhere, to be quite frank, we're obsessed with our youth and we want to be young again. And he is a face that we remember from our youth. And he's a man who hasn't really aged physically,
you would say.
He looks great for his age. And he was mad then, but television was different.
Yeah.
And now he's mad now. And it's like, why is this man
So for those who are listening to this show kind of outside of the UK, you might not be familiar with him. It's Richard Madeley. He's been a presenter on TV for a long time, as Pete said. He's basically like a real life Alan Partridge. Mm. But I mean, to the point of where it is just so full on, that
He's been microdosing LSD.
Yeah.
And he'll snap out of it in any minute and go, sorry. Let's talk about the Hitler Youth.
Get back down Carphone Warehouse and do his job. You can do an hour just on the YouTube comments of the YouTube best ofs.
Right.
It's so good. Like people
have met Madeley.
People are saying stuff like, this is a guy who absolutely closes the kitchen drawer with his hip.
Yes.
Which is a brilliant shot.
I love just forensic observations like that. It's beautiful.
Yeah, he also, there was also a brilliant comment on a YouTube best of his where someone said, I was on this morning with Richard and Judy back in the 90s because I'm a contortionist.
Right.
And they wanted me to show them the audience.
My contortions.
My contortions. Mm. And I said, I had a really big briefing beforehand where I was told by the producers, the show goes out live at 6 p.m. It's a family show. So it can't have been this morning. It must have been the later one they did. Mm. It's a family show. So you can't swear. You can't make any rude gestures. You can't do this. You can't do that. So I went on the set, performed my first contortion, and Richard Madeley said, what happens to your privates when you do that? He's like one step away from punching the commissioning editor of the BBC with a turkey on his fist.
Did he tell us what happens to his privates when he does that?
No. What do you reckon?
It's exactly what YouTube comments are for. It's all about that business.
Don't like certain... I want to say... I might get this wrong and you're going to correct me here.
Right.
I want to say Kung Fu Buddhist monks.
What, pull them up into the body? Is there any place for it to go?
Is there any place for a Kung Fu Buddhist monk? It's like a bit of a conflict. But apparently they train themselves to do that.
Right. They just like go...
What's that noise?
He's swallowing.
Sounds like you swallowed
backwards.
Something.
Yeah, well, that's what the bird buddies do, swallowing it up, isn't it?
What noise would it make?
Bloop. Up it goes. Lift going up.
Yeah. Can you see a bit of Madeley in your future?
He certainly sort of moves into... But he's a solid presenter and he takes people into an emotional and conversational cul-de-sac all the time.
Yeah.
I would argue I start there and never really get out. I can't really explain why I'm in the cul-de-sac.
Oh, right.
I'm just confusing and actually quite infuriating to co-host with,
Richard, as you know. Oh, I enjoy it. Richard's got a lot of confidence, hasn't he, Richard Madeley? And there was a classic moment when he asked someone who was doing like a non-traditional job and he couldn't quite work it out because I guess it was probably like an OnlyFans or something.
Mm.
And he was saying to this guest, you make a lot of money for this? Are you rich? Are you rich off this? And she went, what, are you rich? And he went, yeah. Are you making a lot of money?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Isn't it Theroux-esque? I enjoy it. Yeah,
do you think he's a technically good presenter then?
Yeah, Yeah, you. I think Amanda Iannucci spoke about his blueprint, Partridge, as being like you forget that Alan Partridge is technically a good presenter because presenters have to be a bit mad. They have to be. They can't be normal. They can't have a sort of. You can't have a thing where you have to do gags. You have to do jokes and stuff. Richard. He's not telling jokes. He's just sort of going, he's not trying to score points. He's not trying to get on side with the audience. He's a weird link monster who's trying to link things together. But occasionally that'll misfire and he'll sort of suggest something that's a little bit weird because most presenters are weird. Like 80% of TV presenters who've done their job for a long time are insane.
Who's the weirdest one you've ever met?
I don't, they're all mad. They are all quite mad. I don't know. I've met a few, but they're all very robotic, strange people.
Yeah.
And when they're not, they're frequently in trouble for touching people. I find. If they have got the gift of the gab. Yeah. It's like,
they've chased a lot of pants people around with their old underpants pulled up over their shoulders.
Exactly.
up over their shoulders. Anyway, on that note, Pete, what, aside from our fourth birthday celebrations and Richard Madeley, what have you been up to? What's been going on? Enjoying the football, presumably.
Enjoy the football. I've watched more because I'm in the middle of moving house. It's been obviously a long project.
Oh, the house move.
I've had my laptop in every room. I've been clearing out. I've had my laptop up and I've been watching all of the football. Which I've watched more football than I've ever watched in a tournament thus far.
I think regular listeners rounds. To your
I've bought on the football.
Yeah. What we should first offer our congratulations at your successful house purchase, right?
Yeah,
you must be a weight off your mind.
It was off my mind, and then I got a text message saying how much the mortgage is every month.
Oh yeah,
I was like, whoa, that's a lot of cheese.
It'll batter you.
Oh dear,
it'll batter you down.
Got the keys, went to the house, and we this neighbour came over from the other side of the road. Lovely bloke called Damien, and he. He basically said, oh, welcome to the neighbourhood, introduced his kid, and then went back. And then about an hour later, he turned up with, get this, he remembered our names. He'd written it into a card saying, you know, welcome to the neighbourhood from my partner and my two kids.
Sounds absolutely ideal, this.
Mate, he makes rum or imports rum. And badges it up, and he
so didn't he came give you up a load with a stuff to stash. Did he?
He's a pirate. Yeah. He gave us a bottle of rum and two eggs because they got chickens out the back, which is a lovely touch. But
yeah,
I think
I think if you don't know someone, them just giving you two eggs.
He said they had chickens.
It's a threat.
It's a threat.
Yeah.
Don't damage them.
Yeah.
But it was like, you know what I am.
Sounds
like.
A
you know,
when, science project.
When Natalie rocked up with an amazing cake and crisps and
Tisky
and stuff, I get stressed out. Yeah. I get upset. There is a debt to be paid for me. I'm like, an emotional debt. I'm scared of presents. It upsets me, though it's lovely.
Would you prefer some kind of crack then, presumably? I know where I am in a crack then. I'll just stay away from him.
But he comes over and I was like, I'm gonna fuck it up somehow with him. I'm gonna upset him somehow. I'm gonna say the wrong thing. And I genuinely, when I give him the eggs, I thought I'd just throw his eggs at him.
What did you
imagine
do?
If I just threw my egg through the eggs? I'm gonna ruin this. I'm gonna say something bad. You're not gonna like me. The neighborhood's gonna hate me. That's just who I am. But my partner Sarah will be able to smooth it over. Right? Okay. So why don't I just get the uncomfortableness out the way and I'll just egg your house now?
Yeah.
With the two eggs you just gave me.
Yeah.
All right, Damien. Oh, about these eggs, crunch them in my hands.
I thought you were going to say something that I can imagine you having saying. He's like, when he said, oh, here's some eggs, we've got chickens, you would have blurted out by accident, oh, yeah, yeah, we've got chickens as well.
And then I would have went out and bought some chickens.
I'll give you some eggs. And then you'd have to get into this weird scenario and have to keep buying
pretending
eggs.
I got
all the
chickens.
Time. Yeah.
Oh, just putting feathers on Buckley the dog.
Yeah, you wouldn't have seen this breed before.
It's very unique.
There was a guy at my uni.
That's not an egg, that's poo.
Dog's egg.
Yeah, dog egg.
You paint a shell around it. Well, there's a guy at my uni who really wanted to be friends with all the DJs that worked at the student union. And I worked behind.
What's a weird ambition?
I know, but I did radio at uni, didn't I?
Right, okay.
Radio people.
Okay, right.
I worked behind the bar at the student union, so I kind of knew about all this. And he wanted to be cool, bless him, but he wasn't cool. They thought he was. And he said to the DJs, or one or two of the DJs at the uni, I can get older CDs. This is like back in the day, right?
Jesus Christ.
No, but it was a thing because they'd have to lug their CDs everywhere, so they wanted to get free ones. It's amazing, right? And so people were like, oh, brilliant. Oh, nice one. Yeah, because I'll get you any chart CD you want. You just let me know which one you want. Put it in a list or whatever, and I'll get it for you. And I didn't really explain it.
Mm.
And everyone thought it was quite cool for that. And so he kind of, his credibility went up. And no word of a lie, about 2 weeks later, I saw him in HMV buying them.
Oh.
Yeah. So I can kind of see you getting into that scenario with eggs.
Yeah, that's...
With your neighbours.
Much way more affordable,
What's your neighbour's name? The neighbour you've got access to?
Damien.
Damien?
Damien.
Nice. It's great, though, to have a bit of a friendly welcome.
Oh,
once you get over
lovely.
Your weird neuroticism, it's fine.
It was lovely. I will get over it. He seems very lovely.
What are you going to do if he invites you around?
Kill his chicken somehow. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I'll do something terrible. Because I'm just constantly just filled with anxiety that I'm going to ruin it because he seems so nice.
So you think just ruin it now?
Just get it out of the way and then I can rebuild.
Get really pissed on his rum and do something unspeakable. And go, it's your fucking fault. Come around
your
with rums, your rum.
Yeah. Your delicious rum.
Yeah. I think people can generally, I can certainly relate to the idea that for me, there's definitely a point. So what I mean is that, so our neighbours are all lovely, and I know all of them, and they're all really nice. So for example, Mimi was asking one of our neighbours, Derek, about one of our plants, because he's a really keen gardener, and he got his like book out, like, this is what you want to do. And it's really lovely to have that, like someone there being that kind of neighbourly. Our downstairs neighbours are amazing, they look after our cats when we're away, so it's fine. But I do think there is a point, particularly when you're British, where you're like, I will be like, a friend to you to this point, but it's something in your mind goes, but you're not my real mates.
Right, yeah, okay.
I don't want to be overly friendly. You know, if you start inviting me, you know, to your family wedding or something, it's a bit odd. So I think what you've done is you've just dialed that up to 11, right?
Yeah, it'll be fine, I'm sure.
Geographically, how many neighbours are around?
4 or 5, I think, yeah. It's like a little kind of street, yeah.
Is it like a detached house?
It's the end of a terrace.
Right. So you haven't got too much to deal with then?
No.
Do you reckon they're going to start asking you to be like, or kind of implying that you need to be quite community spirited and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I sort of let everyone down in the current house because I just kept I do a lot of grass cutting, but the front could do with a cut every now and again and a weeding. I've not had a weed for a while, but it's, you know, I've got lots of things to do.
Is this your new house or your old house?
The old house.
But so you're leaving, so who gives a shit?
I know.
They'll never find you. Say that.
They'll never find me.
Leave a note. Right, and so that in an envelope, so that to everyone, so they think it's a nice card.
Yeah,
so
later, you'll never find me.
You'll never find
me. I'm the fucking Lizard King. You don't even know my real name.
You'll never find me. Brilliant stuff. All right, listen, let's have a quick break. When we come back, we will do some of your emails. There's some great ones in there this week. There's always great ones, to be honest.
Have you ever done something unspeakable to, with, or on your neighbour?
I want to hear...
Hello@lookingpicture.com.
Yeah, I want to hear awkward neighbours.
Yeah.
I mean, we've done emailers like... What's the biggest thing you found buried in your garden?
Mm.
We can do awkward neighbours for sure. Yeah. Hello@lukeandpeacher.com is the email address. We'll be back just after this.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, Listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
And we're back. It is the Luke and Pete Show, part one of the week, part one of two. We got some emails for you.
But this is part two of part one.
Oh, yeah. Part two of, it's 1.2.
1B.
One, yeah. It's 1B, yeah. If it was, if you were writing this program in BASIC, there'd be a 10 print, open comma, hello world, close comma.
Yeah, keep maybe, that, do
maybe,
all the code.
Maybe a semicolon. And then 15 would be repeat. 10, yeah. And then that will be the whole program. That's this week's program, this Monday's program.
Is that the one you get where you just covers the whole screen?
Yeah, repeat.
Yeah, I remember that one. That was fucking great when you were a kid.
So cool.
It never changed, really. You just get to say hello.
Hello world, forever. And then, yeah, go back to 10. It's like beautiful. Just an endless recursive loop. Oh,
it's that kind of, that's that kind of...
Monday. It's that kind of Monday.
Yeah, it's just that kind of like nostalgic trip. You were talking about were you talking about toxic nostalgia earlier?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's that sort of thing where somebody...
Nothing toxic about that code, though.
No, clean. Yeah. Clean code. It's the cleanest of
codes. Pleasing nostalgia.
If you come to that, you know, 10 years later and it's just been reverse engineered from assembly, like that is some clean code. I can understand what's going on here, to be quite frank. Somebody talked about it quite recently and they said that... you know when you sort of join an organisation, I've done this several times to be quite frank, when I joined Absolute Radio, people talked about how, oh, it was great when I was a virgin. It was great back when it was great back when the ginger bloke was in charge. We used to go to New York for, it's probably why I don't have any money now. Because we used to take the whole company to New York to have a party on Virgin Atlantic.
I mean, if someone in charge just does whatever they want and they're a maniac.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mean this in a rude way, but...
It's good for the maniac.
You understand why... Me and John have to be here.
Right, yeah.
Don't you? Because like, if it was just you, some of it would be amazing, but some of it would be like, what is happening?
Nobody would get their invoices paid on time.
Quite exactly.
Or they'd get paid double though if they did.
By
have a bit more.
By way of apology. But yeah, no, I was just going to say, the reason I'm asking about that nostalgia thing is because I was in a pub last night with some friends, and there were people of different ages there. And there was this girl there who was about 23. Mm-hmm. And she, I don't think she meant to be rude, but she just went to me, so you were around in the 90s. I was like,
oh, yeah. Papa, father time.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah.
Please tell us your secrets.
And she just went, what was it like?
Oh, mate.
Well, I was like, well, I was working in like a sports shop living with my parents, so I don't think you're really the zeitgeisty man you want to talk about here. I wasn't the fucking bass player in Oasis. Do you know what I mean? It was pretty much fantastic. Like it is now, but I was just younger.
It is, but I would...
But they love the 90s, the kids now. They love it.
Because rock music died then. It never came back.
She never heard of the Strokes.
Oh, really? No. Wow. Okay, fair. Well, yeah, it is one of those things where it's kind of like, I guess the 80s were being regarded as being incredibly uncool when we were about 18, 19. When we were 18, 19, 70s were cool. And remember, you have disco nights and all the pints would be 70p.
Well,
and
a lot
stuff.
Of the Britpop fashion stuff was like based in the 70s.
Yeah, I guess so. So yeah.
Cyclical, right? Mm. Anyway, emails. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. The first email we've got here is from Lewis. Hello to you, Lewis. Lewis Hyatt, who's talking about steps in the day, big walks. Mm. For some reason, I got into big, like, conversation around big walks, didn't I, a few weeks ago?
Yeah, have we kind of, we sound like two old dads talking about big walks. What's your biggest walk?
We just haven't got kids. That's the only difference, right? You've got access to two dogs and I've got access to two cats. That's it. Lewis, well, listen, whether you like it or not, Pete, it's resonated with the listeners.
True.
It's like my Icelandic hot dogs on the ramble. Lewis says, in the summer of 2015, while studying in Portsmouth, I theorised that it would be possible to walk all the way from Portsmouth to Southampton in a day. The naysayers said it wouldn't be possible without training or some level of fitness. Nevertheless, a friend and I set off from the underrated Gunwharf Quays at 8 a.m. Is Gunwharf Quays underrated? You quite like it, don't you?
Yeah, I rate it. I overrate it, if anything.
Yeah, I agree with that. And said we. And Lewis says we managed to eventually reach Wagamama's in Southampton, the spiritual centre of Southampton, just before sunset, stopping along the way at various countryside pubs for a few Swifties. The whole idea was completely pointless and, if anything, slowed down the submission of my dissertation and led me to be unable to walk without pain for 2 days. Nevertheless, it is a memory that I will always cherish. Lewis has helpfully attached his Fitbit screenshot. 34.75 kilometres, 46,513 steps. Very, very strong.
Covered in Wagamama's katsu curry sauce.
And it's the only place you could go into, the only situation you could go into Wagamama's and emerge still in a calorie deficit, I would have thought. But I thought about the walk from Portsmouth to Southampton because it's an area that I know pretty well.
Mm.
It's not a great walk.
It's not, but I wouldn't say it was pretty.
No. So you're going to have some nice parts. You're probably going to walk on the border of places like Titchfield and Surresbury, and you might even go around the backside of Fareham and it wouldn't be too bad, depending on which way you go. But you're not going to walk on the M27, so parts of it are going to be okay. A lot of it's going to be fucking grim. So good on you for doing an Alan Partridge-esque walk along probably several dual carriageways. But there are a lot of nice pubs around there, so thank you for that, Lewis.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. We have got a message from... Oh, I've lost my place. Here it is. We've got a message from Alec Lodge. I like this one. Hi, guys. On Thursday's show, you talked about false advertising, mainly concerning Five Guys fries, which I happen to think are excellent for balance. This sent my brain off on a tangent, remembering some irrelevant advertising, specifically a Home Pride soup advert from about 20 years ago. In the advert for the litre bottle of soup, they felt the need to inform you that once it's open, you keep it in the fridge. Absolutely not a selling point. More a public service announcement. Most things need to be kept in the fridge once opened.
What do you keep in the fridge? So I had a big thing about this yesterday.
Right.
I'm pleased that Alec got in touch.
Mm.
We've had a lot of humid weather.
Right.
I think it's affecting the bread.
What, keeping it out of the fridge? What, keeping it?
I think it's really affecting the nation's supply of bread.
Why are you not sort of like wrapping it up after you've finished?
I leave it in the bag.
Right, yeah.
But the temperature is turning it mouldy so fast.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, maybe you do keep it in the fridge then.
Well, some people keep it in the fridge, but I've traditionally never trusted those people because I think it's weird.
I think that people have it, and it's very dull sort of local radio texter, but that's never stopped us before. Let's make that very clear. You know, the stuff you keep in the fridge instinctively is the stuff you don't keep in the fridge. Because people have started you putting tomato sauce in the fridge and you're like, it's tomato sauce, don't worry about it. Don't stress out.
Why
does sweet chilli sauce live outside the fridge and that one lives in the fridge? Anything a bit fancy, you panic a bit.
I stick everything in the fridge apart, condiment-wise, apart from HP.
Why does HP get a bit of love outside? It's weird, isn't it? It's different rules. No one's got the cohesive idea about what's supposed to belong in there.
So you wouldn't put ketchup in the fridge?
Sriracha mayonnaise. You think mayonnaise probably belongs in the fridge, doesn't it?
Yeah, but when you buy it, it's just on the shelf.
Just on the shelf, isn't it? It's just
what
awful.
About... talk to me about...
A sperm sample. Fridge.
Always.
Always in the fridge.
You'll lose its efficacy over time.
Exactly. And also, if you're in a hilarious film like Ted 2, that I've seen 10 minutes of, you need to be able to spill it everywhere for
what's
a joke.
What's it called?
Ted. Is it Ted 2? The little bear. Little naughty bear.
Oh, I've not seen either
naughty
of them.
Little bear.
Any good?
I've only seen 10 minutes of that one.
First one, any good?
I don't know. I've only seen the 10 minutes of the second one.
Is it like the Anti-Paddington?
It's like the Anti-Paddington 2, a film that I cannot deliver as much as everyone says, however good it is.
I've only seen Paddington 2 and I thought it was excellent, I have to say.
Mm.
I don't know why I draw the line at HP. Another big one is jam. Because jam traditionally is preserved, right? So jam was invented as a way to preserve fruit.
Yes.
So it's a preserve.
Yeah.
So technically, it doesn't need to go in the fridge.
Cold jam on toast. Ugh, gross.
So you wouldn't keep jam in the fridge?
No. No, I would because it looks right. But then it's actually rubbish.
Jar of pickled onions? Opened?
No, I think it's in the cupboard. So, eggs, fridge, gherkins, cupboard, jalapenos, cupboard.
That lasts long enough in my house. No. So my wife, as everyone knows, is Italian-American, the wife I have access to. Her and her family are very strict on what you do with leftover pizza.
Right, okay.
They won't let you put it in the fridge.
Really?
On the side.
On the side,
and
forever?
And you can't warm it up again.
Then what are they doing? Can they not make eggy bread like what I do with French toast? I French toast it.
You are going to be fucking for the high
egg.
Job.
If, mix up egg.
If the great LC is listening to this, you are in big trouble, mate.
Cover the pizza slice in egg, throw it in the pan, sugar, whatever you do with French toast, bit of syrup. Mwah. This is chef's kiss.
And does it not depend at all on the topping of the pizza?
Not really, no. I mean, if you put in old shoes on it, I mean, like be prepared to have a terrible time. But toppings.
I don't want maple syrup.
Very sugary. It's very sugary stuff. It's like, yeah, it's like a pancake. It's delicious.
The complicated relationship that Americans have with sweet and savory is something that is very. I don't think Americans, I know this has been said before, but I really want to stress, I don't think Americans fully understand the ordeal the Brit goes through.
Putting in mixing
the
sweets.
Yeah, it's just an overload. So I understand that in principle it can work, and I want it to work.
Yeah.
But you need to hold my hand through this.
Yeah. Explain to a pig what you're doing to its bacon. Like, why are you covering me? You've already flayed my skin and you've burned it, and now it's you've burned it too much in America because it goes all crispy and weird. But yeah, that's on the plate now, and now you're adding sweet stuff to it.
I don't want to be in a world where you have maple syrup and eggs on the same plate. It just seems weird. I get it with the bacon to an extent.
It is very nice, though. You get maple, it is weird.
But you get maple-cured bacon, right? So that kind of makes sense. Anyway, we digressed. As we always do on this show.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah. So going back to Alec Lodge's... he was talking about the soup that once it's open, you keep it in the fridge. Bit of a kind of public service announcement, but they were sort of doing it like a selling point, like you have to keep it in the fridge. Bizarrely, a woman I worked with at the time was microwaving said soup, and someone said, "Oh, that smells good," to which she replied, "It's that new soup, the one you keep in the fridge once it's open." So clearly it worked on her! Utterly ridiculous, and it still annoys me to this day. You could do that with anything, couldn't you?
Yeah.
You've got to keep this in the fridge.
People are idiots.
Like, it's fresh. Like it's fresher than the other soup that you get.
There was a guy I used to work with who used to microwave fish in the kitchen.
Terrorist.
Open plan office.
Office terrorist.
Not even a door to the kitchen.
That's a B-45. Get out.
Did you ever visit, when I worked at Betfair, did you ever visit there?
No.
And so the kitchen...
Because that would be weird.
No, but like sometimes... I mean, yeah, oh, fair enough.
Hi, Luke.
We don't hang out outside of work. But no, we could have met for a pint after work, but thinking about it, you never want to do that.
No.
So the kitchen, I cannot stress enough, it was no border. So it was like a full open plan thing. So
that's just, difficult, isn't it? So that
you,
is...
Yeah, you just walk and the desks would end. Mm. It would go from carpet to hard floor and there'd be like a tea point and then load of microwaves and everything. And he would microwave fish every day.
Was he like a pump-up, Mr. Pump-up Muscle Man? So you couldn't really sort of complain about it.
He was Greek.
Right.
Not that stops him being muscly. I don't know why I said that. If anything, it's the opposite, right? Greek people are Greek gods.
Handsome, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, so it can happen. I think some people can be very, very weird in the office environment. Because I think there's definitely elements of the idea that you don't... With us, it's a bit different, but like in big companies... You'll meet a couple of people before you start working there and you'll get a vibe about it.
Mm.
But then you'll meet a load of people that you've got to spend 8 hours a day with every day, back in the day at least.
Yeah.
And some of them are just mental. You've just got to deal with it. Like some of the weirdest people I've ever met are just people I've randomly worked with. So you've got to be careful, you know?
True.
Anyway, let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here.
Let's do another show on Thursday, Pete. We'll do some of your battery brands. We'll do some more of your emails.
Check out our pictures on social of the amazing cake that Natalie brought in and the crisps and the Tisky and the monosodium glutamate.
Yeah. Mental note to do that before we eat it because it's not going to last very long. We'll see you on Thursday. Thanks very much for listening. Leave us a review. All that good stuff. Do it, though. Don't just go, he's doing the outro now, so I'm just going to turn it
on. And if you are a muscular Greek person, get in touch. If you give him both barrels.
Defend yourself.
Defend your physique.
From microwaving
Imagine Lucas just come into your office while you're munching on a big bit of microwave fish and he's poking you in the belly going, "You're not muscular.
He's probably
you
thinking,
don't deserve this.
I'm going to get this down before Luke eats it." See you on Thursday.
and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.